you hold on just a second? Would somebody like to volunteer to be timekeeper? We agreed on a 2 minute for each person. Somebody want to keep time?
I'll keep time. Except
okay.
for me.
All right. I'll
think
do it
I
you,
can,
you can do the others.
I'll hold it within the 2 minutes.
Okay.
I was concerned that, well, I appreciated several elections ago that the Pacifica mission statement was included and that people were asked to sign and date the mission statement that they had received it. And I think maybe that they, you know, were in advocacy of it. However, in this election and in the last election, I don't believe, and I didn't see it on the list, maybe it's included in there, but I didn't see it included, that the mission statement was not included in the listing, and I was wondering if there's a particular reason for not including it, because I think it would be a very important thing for candidates to express their opinions on.
Oh, you mean in the actual nomination package?
Yes.
There's no particular reason why it wasn't included. As, you know, the materials that I based the nomination packages off of were, you know, last year's materials, and then I improved upon them. So the reason is that last year didn't have the mission statement, and I can consider adding it there. It's actually not such a big deal for me to add that as part of the. They have to sign a cover sheet with their information, and I don't think it'll be. It's actually not at all a big deal for me to add the mission statement. I think it's quite important. So let me think about adding it and see how much work it's going to take, but I think that it wouldn't be such a big deal to do, actually, especially since we don't have any full nomination packages back anyway, and I believe we just have a few people have downloaded the package. So let me just write that down but thank you for bringing it up. I think it's
sure. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Who else wanted to ask a question or make a comment? Who is that, Pete?
Melinda.
Melinda. Okay, go ahead, Melinda.
Okay, great. First of all, welcome aboard. Want to ask a question, because if I understand correctly, you're saying the jury's kind of out as to participation within the local committees. Is this correct?
You mean the word is out?
Well, let me ask you this. The reason I'm asking, I have an unusual position in that in 2004, I was elected elections chair at KPFT. I held that position for 2.5-3 years. And I helped each of the different election supervisors for our local. I'm also in the unique position in that I'm running for re-election this time. And
right.
It was my experience in the past. I know that Les, who was, of course, the national election supervisor last time, originally back in 2000, and if I remember correctly, it was 2006, when he was first time the national supervisor, had said that he did not want anybody who was currently running for the office to be involved with the local elections committee. And I think that would definitely be, as a person running right now, actually, I would definitely exclude myself.
Right, right. And one of
because
the
things. Just to be, you know, I don't want any kind of appearance of impropriety at all.
Right, right, right. No, and that's the requirement to serve on the election committee is to not actually be running. Even though that's not written up in the bylaws, that's the practice, and it maybe should be added to the bylaws. But the thing is, I think it should be also, for example, if somebody serves on the election committee and, you know, maybe they change their mind, maybe they serve for a week on the election committee and they decide they really actually want to run, and then they can, I think if that situation occurs, I wouldn't disqualify them from running, you know, given as long as they stop working on the election committee, just in case that happens. That would be my, that occurred last year, actually. So that would be my my position on that situation, if that were to happen. But by all means, I don't think it's appropriate for candidates to be serving on the election committees.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Other questions?
Anthony here.
Anthony, go ahead.
Hello, Renee.
Hey.
I heard a moment ago you were talking about you had ideas for increasing election turnout. I mean, that's wonderful. I think that's like the holy grail. What are those ideas, please?
Well, actually, one of the main ideas has to do with the actual ballot design and the envelope design. Researching getting some artist activists to design that. I mean, for obviously it would just be for free, but to entice people to open the ballot in the first place. So there's that sort of just visual, and it wouldn't add any cost or anything. It's just a matter of you know, design, and then also the carts themselves, making just more innovative carts, and meaning that's why I put up this online library, and it'll facilitate sharing of carts, so that we'll have, you know, basically it gives us the potential to multiply by five the quantity of carts available at each station. So that's one thing. And then another thing is also just, you know, virtual promotion, internet, you know, just getting things more out on the internet, and by having also all the audio on the internet, you can, you know, share not only just blogs, but you can actually share the carts themselves or little public service announcements. And, you know, I don't know if that mechanism will work, but with respect to, you know, engaging people, but, you know, we it doesn't hurt to try, and it's not very much more effort. And just in general, like, every single election supervisor, like, they're focusing on outreach, and they have, you know, each of them have experience in outreach, and they're, that's, you know, the thing is, right now they're focusing a lot on just technicalities, you know, getting to know the station and getting carts on the air, so they haven't been able to spend as much time on outreach, but that's, you know, that's key, and I think that's another strategy to try and increase voter turnout. So but besides that, there are other things that I'm working on. Those are the main things.
Tracy, for the great stack, are we doing a stack?
Sean, stack, please.
Tracy, and then Sean. Okay, Tracy.
Okay. Just quickly, I guess there was a question today regarding the website and some of the online outreach aggregator sites and social networking widgets that we're on. I thought it might make sense to just sort of address, you know, specifically what's up there and why.
Sure.
And any thoughts you had in general about the use of that website.
Sure. I mean, I actually, I thought having all of those bookmarks or widgets, whatever you want to call it, all of them up there was a little overwhelming. And then after, it could be misinterpreted as advertising, but all of those widgets that were up there, I reduced it to just the main social websites, social networking websites and blog tools that I, at least I'm aware of. Now the other ones are, I mean, I've checked them, you know, they're all blogs, you know, associated in one way or another to the free sharing of information. So I just felt that's appropriate for this mission that we're on right now, given that we really do need to get the word out about this election. So we need to use every tool that we have. So, but right now specifically, I can't see the webpage in front of me, but if I remember, there were the main ones, which were, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Reddit and Dig and Mix and MySpace, and let's see what other ones were on there, LinkedIn, and I think a couple, like Google Buzz or something, Google Buzz, and I can't remember everything off the top of my head, but all the other ones, you know, I think I think because the internet is really just growing exponentially, I thought it was useful at first to have all of those up there, but I can see how they might be misinterpreted. It's just a little confusing to people.
Ken to the stack.
So right now, that website, I'm, you know, just trying to centralize everything on that website, so that, you know, there's some, you know, just a place where the public can go and get very easy to just get the essence of what we're trying to do here, as well as search the website and get as many specifics as they need. I'm going to put up all the history. I'm going to put up, you know, all the records that I can get my hands on with respect to all the elections since 2000, and so that will be up there soon. And I'm also going to be putting up all the, you know, right now there's a link to the audio library. It's called Pacifica CART Election Audio Library. So anybody can go on there now and hear some of the CARTs. You know, there's also going to be audio, and hopefully we'll be able to get some video also of candidate forums, and we can post some YouTubes and stuff also. So, that's all. I don't know what else more to say about the website except go to it and give me your feedback. Tell me what you want on it. I know there have been two people that have said that they can't read it very well because of the color scheme. I did design it, and I'm going to try and improve that. I didn't get too many complaints, but if it's really an issue, then I can just switch up the whole design. But I can't do that immediately because it takes time to switch up the design. But if it's necessary, I will.
Okay, so, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Campbell?
Yes, we've gone over by about 3 minutes from the initial 15 minutes for the presentation. I didn't know how long you wanted to allow for the questions.
Okay, well, the 15 minutes was for the whole block, so unless there's a motion to extend time.
To extend.
Okay, for how long?
10 minutes.
Okay. Sean moves to extend time for 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that?
Well, it's not an objection. It's just a question of information. Wasn't the idea that if we ran out of time in this section, we would just resume the question and answer period in the next section, which was called Facilitating Smooth Elections, which is all we're really talking about anyway? I'm wondering why we wouldn't just go on to the next section.
We've inserted some other items after this in the agenda.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, two other items.
Sorry, gets hard to follow. Okay.
Move for 10 minutes.
Okay, Shoshan moves to extend for 10 minutes. Are any objections to that? Hearing none, then go ahead. Sean's next on the stack, and then Ken.
Yeah, Renee, there's a great concern over these local election committees at KPFK. We didn't use them in 2007, and I've never heard of them being used in any of our other elections. The concern of many people on all factions and all sides on our LSB is that these local election committees will just become places for factions to fight out who's going to control the election, and will do more to harm the election than to help it, and will increase the antagonisms between the various factions. What do you got to say about that? And then second, you keep talking about conflict of interest, and outside of a candidate, I can't understand what you would mean by conflicts of interest for a local station election committee. Pardon me. Thank you.
Well, to answer the second half first, I just... it was brought to my attention, like close, the wife of a candidate or something, or the husband of a candidate. That could be a problem. And, you know, that's what I'm talking about. And then, let's see, what was the first?
The local
yeah.
election committees, they will become hotbeds of factionalism and lead to more fights.
Well, if that does occur, then the local election supervisor will just not have an election committee. And then it'll be, you know, that's really up to the local election supervisor to manage and to ensure that, you know, the committees are indeed acting as just adding to the process rather than taking away from it. I worked with an election committee last year, and they helped me a lot. You know, I had a lot of, you know, logistical, I would have had a lot harder time getting done everything that I was able to get done if I didn't have people to help me do things like keep, you know, in a forum, you know, help just keep time or promote or, you know, just help coordinate every step every step along the way. I mean, when you're thinking about having an on-air forum, you know, at a radio station, and you're talking about having six-hour blocks, and you're talking about hosts, and you're talking about coordinating 26 people, you know, if you don't have somebody to help you there, it's pretty much logistically impossible. So you know, the election committee is, and also, you know, every person has a vested interest, right? Everybody has a perspective, and you know, for a local election supervisor, I think it's really important to be able to get as much feedback as possible so that they're aware of you know, different perspectives and can integrate that. You know, like one of the things that we were able to develop last year, because of having a body, you know, just a body of people to help, was a really detailed master list of questions, you know, relevant issues to ask candidates, you know, because coming from an outsider perspective, like you're someone who's just a listener, you know, a member, and you're just starting to get involved in this whole election thing, and it's like, oh well, I don't know what are the issues, and to have someone help you, you know, just give you feedback, give you as many points of view as you can possibly get. I mean, it just helps you to just get a big picture of everything out there. I guess, you know, it's a little I'm generalizing quite a bit here, but I don't know what else to say about that, but
okay, let's go on to Ken to the
okay, Ken, two questions.
Hold on just a second, Ken. I was just going to add a point of information. It is up to the LAS to appoint whoever they want who's neutral to be on those local election committees, according to
right.
the
bylaws.
Okay, Ken?
Well, point of information to the chairs. The election committee covered in bylaws?
Yeah.
Okay. What, Lucas Russell? Okay. Just a second, let me ask. What was that, Ken? What was covered in the bylaws?
Is the quote election committee covered or defined in the bylaws?
Yes, it's in the section on local election supervisors.
Okay, great. All right. Now for Mike, two questions. One question is very simple. How much or who's going to produce the carts, and have you arranged for that with the GMs? That's a simple question. Second one is philosophic. Is that, do you feel by putting all this energy and creativity into the cyber generation, you'll be skewing the response level of the voting population, so that we're getting a lot of people who Twitter, will get a higher response from them than people who go bicycle riding and just open their mail? In other words, by opening up into the cyber field with the internet and everything, we're favoring that population part of our audience in an excessive manner over historically what we've done. I mean, how do you have you considered that?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's going to create a bias, but I think the issue we're dealing with right now is low voter turnout, low participation, just low awareness in general about this election, and the internet is is practically free, a free method of communicating with people. And more people are using these sites. And, you know, I would say with respect to helping, even like irrespective of this, you know, like putting the election aside, I think it is in the interest of you know, Pacifica and all the stations as a whole to really take advantage of the internet. So I would say this is, you know, pilot testing that in a sense, or not even, because we won't, unless we do a survey and document how and why those who voted, we won't ever really know. And actually, that might be really interesting to do, and I could actually even try to do that this year. But because it's still ahead of, we could actually control for that by asking people, you know, what got them to vote, basically. If, you know, we could integrate something like that if necessary. And then with respect to cart production, I'm a producer, so I actually can do all of that at home. I've already developed a basis for everyone at every single station, and then each local election supervisor has been doing their own productions together with whoever's in charge with producing there, you know, be it the engineers or the programming director or the traffic coordinators, or, you know, at each station there are different to-go people with respect to how to get these carts produced. And some of the and like a couple of local election supervisors can go and produce them off-site, just like I am able to produce off-site. So we're really trying to pool our energy as much as possible with respect to the production of these carts, because we know that station resources are limited and, you know, studio time is limited. And so, you know, if somebody asks me for help and they say, oh, I need you to produce this cart, I have an election event and they can't get studio time, they can just call me and I can literally do it in like half an hour.
Okay. I'm sorry, just to follow up, I didn't specify. In KPFK, we had to make sure we allocated completely equivalent resources to all the candidate carts. In other words, when candidates make their carts, they have to all be have the same level of production. Otherwise, it's prejudicial. So they all are produced in the studio by the same production staff.
Sure.
Or on the same equipment with the same background music, et cetera. It had to be completely...
We have one more minute on this extended segment.
That's not written up. I mean, obviously you have to give each candidate, you know, the same high quality production. No doubt. There are multiple ways of going about doing that. I mean, I am a producer, so I do know. You don't have to be in the studio to do a high-quality production. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that in the event that there is competition for those resources, we do have options because we have qualified people on board with respect to production. So, if
you would allow different candidates to make their own, generate their own carts.
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying... The supervisor team has production skills and equipment. So
we're now over time.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Well, thank you. Can we move on to the next agenda item? We added a discussion of attendance requirements here for 5 minutes.
Okay. I brought that up. Can I speak to it?
Okay.
I added it to the agenda.
All right.
In reading over the bylaws, three unexcused absences removes a delegate from the PNB, and I found that a motion was passed, and I found it in writing, that the same applied to committee members in the LSB, and that was a resolution passed by the PNB, and I distributed that. And then a recent email came around saying that there was modification to that resolution, but it was only on an audio tape, and it was in somebody's handwritten notes, and neither one of which are of record. The only thing of record is minutes.
Russell,
and, so I don't understand what the problem is. I'm not trying to get people to be excluded. I'm trying to get people to participate. Sometimes you need a carrot and a stick. So if there's unexcused absences, and in our case, you know,
okay, be brief. Remember, this is the whole thing is only 5 minutes.
Fourth meeting where the person doesn't attend. I'm close to my 2 minutes. So I object to not implementing the rule of 3 unexcused absences. You're off the committee.
Okay. Who was that?
Russell.
Russell, go ahead.
Yeah. You're right, Ken. In 2004, October 2004, PNB meeting, they did have a resolution that said 3 absences and you're out. But in 2006, there was an amendment that was read, and it's not on an audio tape. You can hear it on the archives of the of the PNB meetings on kpftx.org. And in any event, George Ryder at 9:27, 39 minutes ago, wrote an email to the PNB, which you probably have in your inbox, and he wrote, this meaning the argument that I presented in an email to the committee, this seems the appropriate action, meaning to reinstate the people. I have listened to the tape, he means the audio, and there is no doubt that the amendment passed. I will check with R. Paul Martin, who has been Secretary of the Governance Committee for at least much of the last 6 years, to see if there was anything subsequent to the 2006 motion that came from the committee on this issue. So George Ryder weighed in on it and says, you know, this is the argument is correct. In 2006, there was a unobjected to motion that said, but after 2 unexcused absences, after 2 absences, the committee chair is required to contact the absented person before any removal took place. So that didn't happen in the cases of Fred and Manige and probably some others. I'm not really sure who all the people were. And so they should be reinstated because we didn't follow the proper procedure.
Okay, who else wants to?
Mr. Chair, we've gone over the 3 minutes by 25 seconds.
Okay, thank you. I think we had allocated 5 minutes for this, but...
Point of information.
Okay.
This is Renee. I need to go at
7:30. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Renee.
That's in like 20 minutes from now?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So, Renee is not going
to
be
on this?
Point of information, Renee is not going to be here. Renee? Hello? Mr. Chair?
John?
Point of information. So Renee is not going to be with us when we're discussing our concerns over the LES process. Correct?
I guess that's right. I mean, this is all archived, but she won't be listening live.
Pity.
On the stack, this is Melinda.
Okay. Go ahead. Was somebody else want to be on the stack first? I forgot who. Oh, it was just Sean for with his. Go ahead, Melinda.
Okay. As far as that goes, as far as sending out memos and everything, by the time you've missed 2 meetings, that's 2 months, and we're going to be meeting quite a, you know, I really think if a person's not that much more, not that engaged, we shouldn't be going along, and we shouldn't be picking up after them. We need adults in this committee, and there's just too much work to be done. And I believe the bylaws were very clear, and everyone should have read the bylaws. It does say quite clearly, if an individual misses 3 meetings, they're off the committee. So I think I'll hear them and just go on, because as it is, this is kind of a moot point.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
We've gone over the 5 minutes by 15 seconds.
Okay, thank you, sir. So we finished the time for this, unless there's a motion to extend?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to extend for 5 minutes.
Russell,
okay,
for the staff.
Any objections to extending for 5 more minutes?
Sean,
okay,
for the staff.
Did you want to speak also, Tracy, or just? want to make
no. No, I was just making the motion to extend for 5 minutes. That's...
Okay. I'll see. Who hasn't spoken yet on this? I forget now.
Well, this is a different argument. And
yeah. Go ahead, John.
Possible.
Okay,
like
you haven't spoken. Yeah, go ahead, John.
Okay, you know, somebody just made a good point. I couldn't recognize the voice right off. But a bylaws change takes passing a motion from the PNB, and then 3 out of 5 of our sister stations have to agree to that. You can't just go and willy-nilly amend the bylaws. So I don't care what they did in 2006. It did not amend our bylaws, and the rule on 3 unexcused absences is still in effect. Thank you.
Russell, I don't know if you have the back.
Okay, let me see if anybody else that hasn't spoken yet wants to speak. And I'd like to say something.
Alex, I haven't spoken.
Alex?
Okay, Alex, go ahead.
Campbell hasn't spoken yet. Yeah,
okay.
I think the last point is right on target. There may have been a motion about procedures for notifying members when they missed two absences, and perhaps this committee did not follow those procedures. But nevertheless, the bylaws take precedent here. 3 unexcused absences should force removal. I know of one case, however, where someone should have been excused, and it was simply a miscommunication that her absence wasn't noted for medical reasons. But outside of that, I don't really see why someone who fails to show up for 3 meetings if they did not have a valid medical reason or something like that should remain on the committee.
Okay, Campbell?
Yes. I think that the notation of unexcused absence is the important point there. And either an absence we've had in our LSB routinely, there would be some persons who we knew were ill, who our chair would indicate they were ill, and so there wouldn't be a notion of having to vote as to whether this person would be excused or not excused. It was without objection. And in some instances, there are persons who did not show up and maybe had no reason and did not indicate that they sought an excused absence. And when we had the 3 unexcused absences in that instance, then the person was subject to removal. So I think that it depends upon whether the body or the chair is making note of, yes, I've gotten a request for an excused absence, and if nobody objects, then it can be, by common consent, agreed to. If the body has an indication of voting as to whether an absence is excused or not excused, then I think you have that approach. But if the body doesn't have a manner of addressing whether or not somebody is excused, I think that it's rather difficult and unfortunate to have a situation where a person can be removed without some prior knowledge. And the action that was taken in regards to the 2 notice, the 2 meetings notice, I think is an appropriate kind of thing. Absent that sort of notice, I think that it's unactionable unless the chair then says, okay, we're making note of this. We want to make sure that people do participate, and so therefore, from henceforth, we're going to incorporate this. If you're going to be absent, let me know ahead of time.
Okay, let me add myself to the stack here real quick.
Yeah, point of information. Isn't it true, Mr. Chair, that if somebody fails to or has 3 unexcused absences and wishes to still participate, they can go back to their LSB and get reappointed to the committee?
Yes, there's nothing that keeps that from happening.
Thank you.
What I was going to say is that, I looked in the bylaws, and maybe somebody else can find it. I didn't see anything in the bylaws that says you're automatically off of the committees. Now, I didn't know about the policy adopted by the PNB, I think it was back in 2004, until somebody showed it to me. what it basically what it says was to apply the requirement for LSBs to the national committees, and that in regarding if you have more than three unexcused absences, you're off. And then I just found out today that there was another amendment passed 2 years after that, back in 2006, that about the advance notice, that the after two meetings that where a person is missed, that they should be notified. And we didn't do that. And so I didn't even know about the first the first policy until I asked, what can we do about people that are missing a lot of meetings? So
I'd like to be on the stack.
George Ryder, I had emailed him, and he emailed back, as Russell said a little while ago, confirming that, yeah, that amendment was passed. So my assumption is that we should give notice to people
in
meetings that they're about to be removed if they don't attend. And also, I neglected to point out that Dan Siegel did ask for an excused absence today because he said he has a class tonight.
Mr. Chair, we're over by a minute and 20 seconds.
Thank you. Okay.
Can I ask one quick question?
Well, is it a point of information?
Yes, I've got a point of information, and that is that if you're talking about changing the bylaws, you cannot amend the bylaws unless there's a vote of all the different LSBs. This has never been taken to a vote of the LSBs.
Correct.
So would stand as they still are.
Point of information?
Right.
Russell, you want to move to extend?
Can we? I move to extend for another minute.
Okay. Any objections?
Yes.
I object. 1 minute gets him a chance to talk, and no one else.
All right. Then 3 minutes. I move to extend for 4 minutes.
Extend for. Okay. Which is it?
Four? Whatever. 3 minutes. Whatever. 5 minutes. I don't mind.
19.
We'll pick one, and I'll ask if there's any objections.
Move to extend for 5 minutes.
Well, okay, objection.
We are not getting to the important issues before this board, and if I go back to my LSB with no idea of what's going on, it only adds to the chaos that is about to ensue. Thank you.
Okay, Ken, can you call the roll about extending time for 5 minutes?
Oh, all right. Hey, Tracy?
Well, yes, we have to know who's on the committee.
Okay, I'm sorry, 1 second. I'm doing as fast as I can. Okay, Anthony?
Yes.
Sean?
No, if you follow the bylaws, you know who's on the committee.
Okay, don't debate.
Bill?
Abstain.
Okay, Wesley? Okay, Melinda?
No.
Okay, Campbell?
Yes.
Right. Peter Tucker?
Abstain.
Okay. Alex?
Abstain.
Okay, Russell?
Yes.
Okay, and Manager?
Manager, no.
No. Okay, so I have 4 yes, 4 no, and 3 abstain. I think to extend, which is a change in bylaw agenda, we would need two-thirds.
Two-thirds,
right.
Right. So the motion to extend fails. Okay. We never got a motion out of this, so if somebody wants to edit the agenda next time, we can do that. We need to move on to the other agenda items, so thank you, everybody.
Well, can we have a ruling, though? I mean, what's your ruling as the chair? Who's on the committee?
I'm sorry, specifically. Well, I stated what I believe the policy would be, that we need to give prior notice, and we didn't do that earlier to people who've missed too many meetings. And so I did give notice today by email to the three people who I knew of who had missed at least three meetings, maybe more now after tonight. Monty has joined us. And, yes.
I believe you're unilaterally changing the bylaws. That's not permitted, sir.
That's incorrect. The bylaws don't say that.
Okay, well, I don't think that's in the bylaws, as I stated earlier, but...
the policy is very clear, Mr. Chair. Unexcused absences, and you're out.
We're over to this agenda item, though, so can we move on?
And notice of the day.
We can discuss it next time if we want to. Okay, next item is list cleaning, 15 minutes. forgot who made that motion. But
I did.
The list. That was Alex.
Alex, go ahead.
Okay.
By the way, let me just point out, if we go to 15 minutes, we're going to be over the normal adjournment time for this. So let's try to keep it short if we can.
We don't have to necessarily take 15 minutes, but I'd like to point out that we have some serious problems with the membership list. Among other things, I don't know how many stations, but I know it's happened at BAI. People are being signed up as gift memberships. That is strictly illegal according to the bylaws, but it's been happening. And I wish that the National Election Supervisor was still on the call because I wanted to ask her I thought you left. Okay. I wanted to know what measures you intend to take to remove people who got what we euphemistically call a gift membership. There's another term I guess I could use for that. How could we remove such people from the list since they're not legal? And there are other anomalies in these lists. And
we know that this
has happened every single election. And what are we going to do about it this year?
Well, to start off with respect to the gift memberships, it's going to be very complex to remove them because it's going to be hard to find, but one of the things that will be done is look at, sort the list by address. And if, for example, you have, 5, 10 people, list to the same address, then that's a suspect record. And then make phone calls, and find out how, if they got a gift membership, actually. I mean, the thing is, the way that stuff is entered into MemSys, it's very hard to know who's a real donor and who's a gift membership if you don't capture them on the way in to the database. So,
one tip off might be if their membership is being bought by somebody else's credit card.
Right. But the thing is, you still don't know. But that's a good cross check to make, though. Thank you. That's a good cross check to make.
This is Bill. Let me just add a quick suggestion. Everybody that has ideas or suggestions on this, email them to our Google group or just send them directly to Renee.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I will take everything that you give me. I take it into importance. So, but the thing is, with respect to what we're discussing right now, trying to figure out who got a gift membership, it's going to be really hard to find out because we're talking going through 16,000 records and trying to figure out who these people are when, anyway, there are a few things. There's what you just stated, checking credit card. But the thing is, even about, you can't make assumptions that maybe they have a credit card that's registered with a different address or, you know what I mean? It's like, that's not, that is a check to do, but it's still just a check because it implies it's making a lot of assumptions. It is something that can be done, and then also just sorting by address, and we can capture if somebody bought a whole bunch of gift memberships and they put their own address on it, that's going to be quite easy to catch.
Let's try to be brief, everybody, and so other people can ask questions.
Did you get me on the stack?
Yeah, I got Alex, and then who was Alex?
Yeah, can I finish? And Cam.
Okay, well, Alex, you've already spoken. Can we see if other people can, or you're talking about the same item?
I just wanted to finish the point. There's also various checks that mailing houses do routinely.
NCOA and cash scans, those are going to be done for sure. There's no doubt mailing houses doing that, yeah.
Okay. Who else? Russell?
Yeah. Campbell.
Okay, Russell.
I'm not clear on what... If it's so difficult to tell when a gift membership is being given, how, Alex, do you know that that's happening? Like you said, that is actually happening? Like, how do you know that?
You want to answer that, Alex, briefly?
I know that there was an item on the tally card in our last fund drive called gift membership. I think it's since been removed, but it was there for a while.
But that you don't have any evidence that it's actually happening.
It has happened.
You mean in past elections?
No, in this current year.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, Campbell?
Yes. I have to admit, apparently gift memberships are a four-letter word, and I don't understand the problem here. Is it somebody's buying up, like, you know, putting down 1,000 members and then passing them out to folks who you know, they know or something like that? Or I don't get the situation. I mean, if you know,
well, let's see if Renee can give a quick answer to that. If not, I know I can. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, if you know, if somebody is purchasing gift memberships and, you know, either just using other people's names or making up names, you know, then it gives them the chance to vote multiple times, and
okay.
And that's not a good thing.
Okay.
It doesn't take 1,000 to swing an election. It could take as little
right.
as a dozen or two dozen.
Exactly. So, but the thing is, it's really logistically complex for someone to put a different address on those gift memberships if they are indeed planning to use those votes, you know. So I think in all likelihood, anybody who's trying to do that, they're probably going to put one address or a few addresses, and that is going to be captured, because I'm looking out for that when we quality check the lists, and a lot of other things are going to be done. I mean, including, you know, taking random samples and making phone calls and following up with, you know, just the whole from pledge to bank account, that whole line of steps that happens at WBAI. It's kind of a very complex process, you know, to get from, you know, when somebody makes a pledge all the way into the bank account, you know, so and hopefully they get onto MEMSIS, I mean, get entered into MEMSIS. So anyway, I think that just by sorting and random selections and calls and doing that, you know, very rigorously, that we can capture a lot of, you know, the potential, how to call this, you know, just people trying to take advantage of this process. I think that we can minimize the error. We're not going to capture everything, but we can certainly do our best to minimize. So.
Sean, for the stack.
Okay, thank you. All right. Remember, everybody, it's getting late. Sean?
Yeah, I want you to all take note of the fact that under our STV voting, the screwy system we use, a few dozen votes can really skewer the elections, particularly when it comes to staff elections and everything. And then there's your additional problem of these waivers that people like to use, and we find that the waivers go way up right before an election. Both of these gift memberships and the waivers are used to stuff the ballot box, and with the gift memberships by the wealthy, okay, so that they can have undue influence over our elections. And for the waivers, that's a way to give poor people undue influence on our elections, and I think it's both sad that both rich and poor people don't find the wherewithal to come in outside of medical difficulties and put in 3 hours of time. There is no reason or excuse for having any of these things. They pollute and corrupt our elections, and they turn serious voters off that paid their money, that put their time in. It turns them off, and they don't participate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I have to go now.
Okay, thank you, Renee.
Okay.
Thank you, Renee.
Anything else for this agenda item? Okay, it's our scheduled time to adjourn.
We have three more minutes, but we're over by two.
Okay. If you want to keep going, I guess we need a motion to suspend the rules and go past our scheduled adjournment time.
Would you accept a motion to adjourn since
it's done automatically? It's a special rule. It's done automatically unless we suspend our rules, which takes a two-thirds vote. I don't think you're going to get it.
Okay. Well, if somebody wants to make the motion, I know there's other agenda items on.
There are, and we wasted our time, and now we're going to have a train wreck at KPFK. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is there any motion to extend the adjournment time?
Well, since the NES has left, I see no reason. We can't really discuss our concerns if she's not here.
Okay, well, let me just remind everybody on the agenda. The next meeting date we had decided last month was for July 6th. It's the first Tuesday rather than the second, because the second Tuesday is our normal date this year, but it was not available next month for streaming and archiving, so we moved it up a week. So our next committee meeting will be July 6th, the Tuesday. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah, any action items?
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Did you note any on the agenda? I don't remember any.
Are there any action items between now and the meeting?
Let me just ask this for everybody as an action item. You know, please send your suggestions for any of this stuff either to our Google group list, we all get it, or to Renee Asteria. She's on that list, so if you send it to the list, she'll get it. Renee and Arlene will also get it.
I'm sending you a copy of the bylaw that stipulates the three meeting exclusion.
Thank you.
Okay, does it apply to committee members?
It says meeting.
Committee members?
It says,
okay.
It says board meetings.
Thank you, Melinda.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll try to
write up whatever I understood the policy.
Sections, I've got C and D, and I'm cutting and pasting it to you.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, any other quick thing, anybody?
Manager, I have a question. The,
yes.
The date for next meeting, you said the 16th, and telephone number and access number is the same thing at the same time?
Yes, and it's July 6th, not 16th. Tuesday, the first Tuesday of next month.
Yeah, July 6th at 5 Pacific time?
5:30 Pacific.
5:30, okay, Pacific, so it's 8:30 here. Thank you.
Right, okay. And be sure to watch the emails, everybody. You know, we can continue our discussion by email. We get a lot more done between meetings sometimes than during the meeting. So thank you all for your patience, and appreciate everybody being polite. And let's talk to everybody next month. And we're adjourned.
Good night.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night, all.